take a short lifestyle detour from the news of the world. Here's Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The opinions expressed on this edition of Pensacola Expert Panel are not necessarily those of News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, but rather the opinions of the sponsor, Claimology, with host Matthew Vanderford.
Good morning, good morning. It's 10:35 here at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Matthew Vanderford is in the house.
How
from Claimology. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I am digging the hat, and y'all are live, so that makes the hat better. It's perfect. There is no sun or rain going to hit your shoulders.
No. This is the hat that I got at the gas station in Texas I was telling you about.
It's amazing.
Yes.
I'm a hat person. If you don't know, I like to collect hats. In fact, I picked up a couple this week, and I can appreciate a good wide-brimmed hat like that.
It's fantastic. I think this is going to become my complete, like, rain hat from now. This is fantastic. I haven't gotten wet. This is amazing.
I know. You just came in. It's torrential downpours right now, and you have no rain on your shoulders. So that's
awesome.
Perfect.
Yes.
I want to check in and first open everybody and welcome everyone to the show. You're listening to News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Pensacola Expert Panel has Claimology today. And Matthew Vanderford is a public adjuster, and he likes to bring information and awareness to people and being able to help you. He has the gift of helping and so much kindness for others, and I appreciate that. So if you do have a question, you want to weigh into the conversation, I know you always bring excellent topics to the table and information and updates. So please feel free to call or text in. Our number is 850-437-1620. We have to say the area code now. 850-437-1620. We're used to that because in Jersey, remember, we had to do the area codes.
Yeah, all the time. I can still remember number
201?
201-729. I was all the 201-729-4880, I think was the phone number.
That's right. Before they changed it to the 973 area code.
Yes.
And then you still had to dial it. Why did they do that? But I understand now. It's just funny that Northwest Florida has been able to go this long without having to do that.
Yeah, well, it's pretty rural for the most part, which is nice.
Right?
It's nice.
We are very blessed to live in this area.
Yes.
We're blessed to live in a state where we see other states that have been shut down. They've been dealing with things, and it seems like they're still trying to get it together.
Yes.
And Florida really keeps trucking along. And even though, right, we have pandemic that hits, and then we have Sally that hits, and then we're kind of coming back from that, and we're trying to navigate through the vaccine rollout, and then we have this past Saturday hit and all that rain. Did you guys fare okay?
Yeah, like there was actually straight line winds that came through. There was a tornado that ran through Panama City. I had a friend of mine. He sent me a video of a tornado that went through, so we're very close to them. So, it's just weather. Last night, I had the windows open. I love this place because, I mean, it's so dramatic. Like, it's really beautiful here, but it gets really... full of the weather drama.
She's a drama queen.
Yeah.
Mother Nature, she is.
And she'll bring it hardcore if you ain't paying attention. And I love it because it's just one day you're having a beautifully nice day, and the next thing you know, you're getting these crazy spinoffs, and you're like, what the heck just happened? Why is my tree down? What's going on?
Well, yeah. And before Steve Gerlach with Emerald Coast Queens, he was showing me videos of Saturday and all the rain and the wind and, like, you know, everything happening and debris flying everywhere. I was like, oh my goodness, I just stayed hunkered down in my house, didn't move for a long time. I was like, I'll just stay inside, thanks. Like,
yeah, right.
I'll leave all of the weather reporting to the actual weather people.
Yes.
I'm gonna stay inside. But with those kind of things, like, we saw, especially in, it was like the Lillian area, Lillian Highway, Gulf Beach Highway, west side of Pensacola, we saw a lot of people experience hail.
Mm-hmm.
Hail damage, pretty gnarly hail.
Yes.
Like golf ball almost sized. And so when it comes to like that kind of thing and damage, when people make claims, is that like something that's normally covered? Is hail damage? Because I saw there were a few people that were, they had their cars totaled.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you a real quick funny story. Number one, back in the day when I used, eons ago, over 20 years, I can say that now, right?
Yes,
so,
you have the right.
Over 20 years ago, I used to sell cars. And when we sold cars, there was hail damage. They were Nissan, and Nissan manufacturing plant was in Tennessee. And so Tennessee, all like there was like, I can't remember how many thousands and thousands of cars were hail damaged. But we actually sold them as is in Philadelphia. And it was funny because, like, people wanted the brand new Maximas. They were coming out. And this is totally unrelated to insurance claims.
That's
and stuff.
Crazy.
But people wanted these brand new Maximas. And they looked like ping pong balls. Like they had smacked, like someone took a ball peen hammer and whacked all these cars. And people were buying them at price because they wanted the Maximas. They wanted these brand new cars. And they're like, they had to have it. And so we sold
that
them.
That is crazy.
I'm not kidding you. The store probably bought like maybe 30 or 40, maybe even 50 cars, and we sold them all. People
wanted
them.
I wonder if people still do that.
I'm sure.
That's crazy.
But interestingly enough, what I ended up finding out is that technology investment companies, they take all this money to actually disrupt weather patterns. So they actually put these huge, like these companies actually have to protect their investments, their product, they have these big machines that actually go and put sound waves up into the atmosphere to disrupt the weather patterns so they don't get hail. So
that's
true.
Crazy.
That and stuff. I used to read that. So it's very true. Weather manipulation is a fact. It's real.
Wow.
And to come back to hail here, I mean, I'm watching here on the news, this, like this severe weather that's rolling through this place.
It's pretty much a blanket of yellow, spots of red, and then green on the outside. It's actually very pretty.
It's very beautiful, unless you're like in the middle of it.
No.
Like, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But
we're not used to, like I tell people, I mean, we've been here for a while. 8 years is pretty much a while, and we've acclimated. I love living here.
Yeah.
We are so blessed between the beaches and then having, like you said, the rural area, having the downtowns. You can make a drive to Destin or Rosemary Beach to get out for the weekend or Gulf Shores or go to New Orleans and get a different culture.
Yeah.
We're very, very blessed. But, you know, growing up, you and I, we didn't have this in New Jersey. It was like we would get rain.
Snow.
But snow was the big one.
That was it.
And you still weren't shut down for it. And
I used to walk to school for snow.
Oh, yeah. Did you walk to the bus stop?
Absolutely. I was like the only one there. It's like everybody's parent was driving them. I had to walk. That was it. That was it. That my life.
But it's funny, like here, you're like, okay, I have to learn how to have all the water stocked into my house with all the toilet paper and buckets and all those weird things, you know, and being prepared. And then also, you know, just going over and making sure, like, when you have damage, like with Sally, or with this past weekend, which, you know, she was lucky enough not to get a name. We got a Saturday storm. You know, making those claims afterwards and walking through that here is different than the last one we experienced in Jersey, which is I still live there, was Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah, Superstorm Sandy. I was up in Philadelphia when that happened.
I was there
for Tropical Storm Lee, Hurricane Irene that came
through. Irene was pretty big, too.
And that messed up a lot of people. Philadelphians, New Jerseyans weren't ready
for it. People panicked.
Yeah.
People panicked because they weren't prepared. They didn't know how to go about making claims. I remember the damage that, you know, we had in the home we were living in and trying to like, wait, what do we do? Who do we call? And it was an influx.
Yes.
And people were panicking because it took like a year and a half to get back. And we're seeing that with Sally too.
Yep.
Like people are still, you know, they've got the tarps on their roofs. I'm still seeing them. I'm starting to see fewer and fewer here and there. But, you know, are people still just waiting? Are they still in that limbo part?
They're still going to be waiting. Because here's the thing with the insurance companies, and this is just how they keep their ratings. And insurance companies are rated. And again, I love insurance. This isn't something to disparage the insurance companies, but this is just fact. Mm-hmm. So insurance companies are given ratings, A+, B, C, D. The lower you get, the state gets involved because they'll stop letting you produce in this state for the risk. So in order to keep ratings, they have to close their claims very quickly, get them off the books. So that's why there's such a push to pay out very minimal, and then they close the claim. So take, for example, I just got a check in from an insured yesterday, and they went online and they said, why is my claim closed? Well, because even though they paid you $10,000 on your claim, and this isn't a hail, they just have a bathroom claim. It's going to be more than this, but they paid $10,000 for their claim, and then they close the claim out because then they can report it to the state that they're doing their job, because the state actually is supposed to have a supervisory board that is looking over like how the internal workings of claims are being processed, how insurance companies are performing.
Okay.
There's metrics that they're supposed to there's standards and metrics that they're supposed to keep up to. However, they're so loose and they're able to manipulate them so bad. That's why, like, take for example, Hurricane Michael. This is so important for people. Like, Hurricane Michael claims, oh my gosh, more than half of them still are unfiled correctly. Still to this day, which means Hurricane Sally claims, this is going to be a huge, huge blow to people, especially if House Bill 76 passes. So I want to, again, pressure everyone out there. Listen, talk to your local talk to your local senator, talk to your local congresspeople. Do not allow House Bill 76 to pass, because guess what's going to happen? It's going to pass. And the next year, when you want to go file your claim because you're late on Hurricane Sally, you're going to get stuck with half of what you're going to receive on your roof if your roof is 10 years old or older. So take, for example, on these impact claims. I call them impact here in Florida because hail happens. However, this is really neat. I have a really neat guy that I work with. He's a forensic meteorologist. He's pretty cool. Like, he's actually helped, like, develop the systems that monitor hurricanes. And he says what it ends up happening is these systems end up getting blown away, and so they really can't monitor how fast the wind is actually going. But one thing in particular is that, take for example, I had a building, I'm still representing the association, that this is Tropical Storm Cristobal. Back in June, Tropical Storm Cristobal came through this area. Now, this is down in Okaloosa Island area, where this particular association is. They had a spinoff tornado that came through. Very small. It wrecked all the entire building. I mean, multiple properties, not just there, were ruined. All their units were destroyed. 15 units were messed up. And what on the weather system itself, what the forensic meteorologist was telling me, and this is really interesting for everyone out there, is if the rotation is so small, if it has to be a certain width in order for the satellites, the systems to pick them up, the radars, the weather radars to pick them up. If they're too small and they're too short, like it's that fast, it actually comes out as no event. So then you have, then my question says, okay, Mr. Forensic Meteorologist, how do we explain all this damage when I go to the weather map and I go to the local weather station and they said there's no wind event? He said, that's the problem. He said, because now you get into physical damage versus technical data. And the data sometimes does not support the actual event. Take, for example, 3 years ago, we had an EF3 or 4 years ago, EF3 tornado come through Pensacola.
Destroyed it.
I had another adjuster. I'm sitting there. Blocks are destroyed. I mean, I'm sitting there with blocks. I'm looking at a home that's jacked, and I'm looking at this house, and I'm explaining to the person, well, this window's messed up, and this is because of the tornado. And he's like, how can you really be for certain that this is because of the tornado? And I said, with all due respect, and I turned the person around, I said, do you see the house behind you? There's no home anymore.
Right.
See that house? There's no roof anymore. See that house over there? It's gone. How are you going to tell me that this home isn't affected by windows are damaged, they've got water damage in the inside, the shingles are ripped off? But
what do they attest it to? Like, what is their reasoning behind that? That's my biggest question, is like, you know, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, walks like a duck,
it's
probably
a duck. It's a platypus. Wait, it's a platypus. No, seriously, because it looks like a duck too, right? That's what they end up saying.
You got me on that one.
And
yes.
That's what they'll do. And so they'll say, like, take for example, with all this hail. I was just with the roofer just a little while ago, and he was explaining to me, we have properties, and it happens all the time. Entire blocks will be hit by a impact from hail or some other flying debris.
Yeah.
10 homes will get replaced. 2 out of the 10, denial, no event. Because it's a metric. The insurance companies, you're going to get denied. And the question is, wait, we've got 10 homes. I'm in the middle.
Right.
I'm on the end. Yeah. I've got damage too.
What about me?
What about me? And they say, denied. And I was just talking to the roofer. He's like, I'm probably going to have to, for this, they've denied the person twice in the same neighborhood. Same claim, denied them twice. So what is an insured left to do? What is an insured left to do?
They call you guys.
Well, yes. You call your public adjuster. You look us up. Claimology. I'm Matthew from Claimology. You can look at us up at www.insuranceadjusterschoolhouse.com. You can call us at 850-684-4794. And the most important thing is, you have to be your own advocate, your own voice.
That's right.
You have to look out for you.
Yeah. And sometimes people are... you're not good. Nobody else is going to do it for you. You got to do it sometimes for yourself. I've learned that as I've gotten older, right? We have to do that. We're that for our kids. Yeah. We can also do that for ourselves. Okay, it's 10:50 here at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. You're listening to Matthew Vanderford, a public adjuster with Claimology. If you do have a question, which I have one coming through, please feel free to text us 437-1620. That's 850-437-1620. Okay, this is a good one. Do you know the difference, or what is the difference, right, between flood insurance that is national flood insurance versus private flood insurance? Is all private flood insurance compliant? Are there any negatives to private? Private is about half the cost. It also said, great show. Thanks.
Oh,
you guys are amazing. I love our listeners.
Yeah. Well, you host a great show.
Oh,
so big shout out to Jennifer stepping up. This is a great show. Thank you very much for having us
on.
And
I love those kind of questions, because that's something I need to know too.
Yeah. Well, that's a big thing. So take, for example, you get a flood, you get rain right now. So let's talk about flood, for example. A flood just isn't from storm surge. A flood identified through your policy, it can be anything from the ground, groundwater. So when the rain accumulates on the ground and becomes large and enters your home, that's now considered flood. So to answer your question, it's called NFIP, National Flood Insurance Program, or the policy. So that's the NFIP, and they have what's called a write your own policy. So effectively, they're all the same. Effectively, it's all the same thing.
Okay.
It just so happens that the write your own policies, the federal government is writing the national flood. FEMA is backing it. FEMA backs it all. However, the Write Your Own program is actually backed up through other subsidiaries. So there's other people that are the kind of purse, that hold the purse strings for this. However, it's all FEMA related. So it's just brokered differently from a Write Your Own policy as opposed to the National Flood Insurance. So some are cheaper, and so they allow it. And the reason why they allow Write Your Own is to allow for broader markets, to allow for competitive markets, to allow people to have an option and a choice. And it really just comes down to marketing. That's really what it comes down to. But effectively, it's all the same.
Okay.
And flood insurance, just to let everybody know, all it is it's a Band-Aid. That's all you're going to get. It is a Band-Aid for a major disaster. When you buy flood insurance, and I recommend everyone buys flood insurance, even if you don't live in a flood zone, because it doesn't have to be in a flood zone, and then it's really cheap. But in the event of an actual event where they classify it as a flood, you are not going to get everything that you deserve. You're not, because it's not there for that. It's an emergency. It's basically just like, hey, you got hit with something. Your regular insurance company doesn't pay for this. Here's something just to help you out with. People still suffer. I mean, when Hurricane Hermine, the first hurricane in 10 years to roll through here, hit Homosassa area, people had flood insurance. They were getting pennies on the dollar.
Oh,
pennies
wow.
on the dollar.
Why is that though with the flood? I don't understand that. Why is that with the flood insurance, especially when we live right there? Was a flash flood warning earlier.
Because it's backed by the federal government, and the government doesn't want to pay. They're already housing so much money. Believe me, they're already forking it out. And when you have an insurance claim with flood, you only have a year to file suit, and then it has to go to federal court. It's no longer through the municipalities. It goes through federal court, so it's much different. So the hurdles, the bar that you have to jump over is extremely high, and you have a very, very short window, and you have to get your stuff in very quickly. You have to get paperwork in within 30 days, or they file an extension. Like, there's a lot of things people aren't aware of, so that's why we're here, to educate people.
Yeah, sometimes like the Pensacola expert panel turns into the Pensacola education panel, especially for, I mean, we all live here. A lot of us live in a house. A lot of us own a home, and you have homeowners insurance on it, and you need to know like what is really covered. And if you have like Sally move in, and what did they just say? Within the past couple weeks since I have talked with you, they said that pretty much this hurricane season is going to be worse than the last one.
I couldn't even imagine, because we were that was a lot.
We were watching, and it wasn't just like that it hit us. It wasn't just that it hit our area. It was like it was coming into the Gulf and circulating in the Gulf. So we were like, oh, is it going to hit us? It's going to hit more west. It's going to hit more east. You didn't know which way, and you're like, you're playing like the dodgeball.
You're right. Which way?
Yeah. Do I leave or do I not? And I'll tell you, I tell people this, after enduring Sally and Sandy and Irene in the past oh my goodness, it's been 10 years now. If they're going to tell me it's above a two, I'm out. Bye. I'll go get myself a nice little Airbnb somewhere if I can afford it, or go stay with mom.
That's it. And like the reality is, like, I know people that'll stay all the time.
They do. And I admire them.
What ends up happening is, though, you have to think about, like, I mean, I've been in this industry for a while. When Hurricane, what was it, Michael was coming through, I literally debated whether or not we should leave as a family. And I'm like, no, we're fine, we're fine. But then honestly, my gut hit me and it was like, hello, guy. This could shift this could wobble in a heartbeat overnight. And this thing's moving so fast, you're stuck. And then guess what happened? I have friends of mine that stayed during Hurricane Michael and they were like, whoa, never again. This is crazy. And it's bad. You don't want to get stuck there.
No, especially for I understand. When you have your family in place and the first 72 are on you, all of that, you always have to be careful. All right, we have a caller on the line, David from Pensacola. Do you have a question for Matthew?
Yes, I got a question here. I have heard, and actually a government person, salesperson, I guess it was, told me this. If you do not have more than one flood claim, the federal flood insurance will not pay anything. Is that true? You have to have at least two or more in a neighborhood?
Yeah, there's like this quasi rule floating around, and it's like it is a rule. It's kind of like their baseline that the area has to have so much damage in order for a flood event to actually occur.
Okay.
Which is very, very interesting, because then take, for example, you run into the issue. If they're not calling it a flood, can your homeowner's insurance technically deny you? So
really?
Now you're getting into some other issues.
Oh, sure.
So then you have to look at, take for example, in Philadelphia one time we were dealing with the claim and there was groundwater that came in and they wanted to classify it as a flood. But the reason why the water entered the home is because a stick broke the window, which allowed water to get in.
Oh,
so
no.
It wasn't the flood that caused the problem. It wasn't the groundwater. It was the actual breakage of the glass due to a stick hitting the window during the event. The stick was in the water. The stick broke the glass.
Oh, wow.
So that's the claim. It all comes down to the chain of events. So take, for example, Superstorm Sandy happens. People didn't have flood insurance there.
No.
But they were covered in some places. Why? Because it triggered a fire. And the fire then subsequently consumed blocks of people in New York. So if you have to look into your policies of the chain of events, cause and effect.
Yeah.
Yep. And so there's that little quasi-semi rule kind of out there floating around. But the reality is, if flood claims, you file a claim.
Right.
You file it on your policy.
Yeah. Go for it. Yes.
Yeah, go for
David,
it.
Such a great question. Thank you for that. I appreciate you guys like asking these questions. And a lot of people, we are fastly approaching hurricane season again.
Yes.
It's upon us yet again. It feels like it's just zipping by this year. And so having this information available, having these talk segments to educate people, especially as we get closer to the month of May, and that's pretty much your preparing month. Those first like 3 to 4 weeks of, you know, people make the mad dash, right? They make the mad dash to the Walmart or wherever people go, the Home Depot and big box stores to start packing in the waters. The batteries, you know, they get the generators, you see those sales go up. But what happens after that? Like, what is covered? You know, before you, you know, just only focus on that, the temporary stuff, you also have to be prepared for later on. So I'm sure we're going to have more talk segments on that as we get closer.
Absolutely. Preparation is key. Photographs and documentation.
Oh, there you go. So also like making sure that you can take those pictures. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure, Matthew. Thank you so much for coming in. For again, just to remind everybody, the House Bill 76, excuse me. Reach out to your
local representatives.
Yeah. Let them know. And
follow, strike it down.
Follow Claimology on Facebook. And always something new that we get to learn. Thank you so much for bringing your happiness.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.